is David Bebout, otherwise known as Hillbilly, president of Middle Tennessee Dirt Riders, and you are listening to Pit Pass Moto Racing Weekly.
From our studios in Des Moines, Iowa, this is America's motor racing talk show, Pit Pass Motor Racing Weekly, on the Pit Pass Radio Network.
Hi, this is Brock Sellards with Babbitt's Online Monster Kawasaki Pro Circuit. You're listening to Pit Pass Radio.
You can reach us toll-free at 866-333-5966. 866-333-5966. Or you can email the show at tony@pitpassradio.com.
Hey, this is Jeremy McGrath, and you're listening to Pit Pass Moto Racing Weekly.
Now from our studios in Des Moines, Iowa, here are your hosts, Tony Tice, Ed Kuhlenkamp, Tony Wink, Scott Casper, and I'm the guy that makes them sound good, Jack DeLeon. This is Pit Pass Moto Racing Weekly.
Whether he's traveling at 40 miles an hour on a vintage 1909 Indian motorcycle or at 150 on his modern-day Honda production bike, 2006 MotoGP world champion Nicky Hayden was thrilled with the new road course at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Monday. It was the first guy to ride a motorcycle around the Indy Motor Speedway since 1909.
How cool is that?
How cool is that? I'm Tony Wink. In the studio with me today, returning, is Scott Casper.
For a brief moment. I'll be gone again next week. So you're getting used to it, aren't you?
You're liking it. I'm digging it a little, I have to admit.
He's sitting at the helm.
I'm sitting at the hub.
The helm of the luggage.
He asked me if I wouldn't mind sitting over by the door tonight.
Just in case. Also with me is John Albert, Tony Tice, and in studio we have the president of Novak, Dan Klein. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk about Novak in the next segment, but you're also the executive director of the Iowa OHV Association.
Yep, that's right. We have 8 parks here in Iowa that we're in charge of through the Iowa OHV Association and our local clubs.
We'll get into that. I know you had some sort of a vote today that didn't go as planned, but we're going to talk about that in the second segment. Last week we talked about one lucky listener.
That's right.
Is going to win a pair of tickets to the upcoming motocross championships in San Diego, California.
Do we have a winner?
We have a winner, and we're going to actually bring him on the show.
Really?
Yeah. Can we bring him up, Jay Rye? I was going to read the segment and talk about his email, why we chose him, but rather than that, I'll let him just tell his story really quickly. Jay, thanks for listening first off, and tell us the email, why we chose you.
Well, the reason why is because for the last 15 or 16 years, I've been trying to get my son to a major event, and for whatever reason, something comes up, you know, with weather, work, what have you. And I've been trying since he was 3 years old to get him to a major event. And right now he's 15 years old and in high school, and I only have a few more years before he heads off to college. And this was one of the opportunities that I have, that I'm available, that I could get him to an event.
You mean you want to be a dad?
That's correct.
That's a cool. Again, you picked this all by yourself, Tony?
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of people email in, so
that's very cool.
Was tough, but it was a good story, and I liked it. So congratulations. If we haven't emailed you already, we will, and we'll tell you how to pick up those tickets, okay?
That sounds awesome.
Have fun, and thanks for listening.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
That's very cool. I'm glad you did the father-son story. That was on the top of my list.
It's a tearjerker.
Well, that's what motorsports, and it's one of the ways you and I met, for God's sake. You were like 10, 11 years old, busting your butt out there on the
track. You always tell that story. I was a little bit older, but
I just grew really fast
after we met.
another couple years, you're going to be like 5. I remember when you were on 50s.
All right. A lot going on in motorcycle racing. First off, we'll talk about the Texas Stadium, Irvine, Texas, the Monster Energy AMA Supercross and FIM World Championship took place, and it was a lot of Yamahas on top. Chad Reed took the win. Josh Hill, how about that, took second, and Davey Millsaps rounds out the top three. Pretty good stuff.
Tim Ferry, come back ride.
Yep. Yeah, Tim Ferry's doing well. Yeah, Wyndham took fourth, and Ferry was fifth. What do you think? Tim Ferry, you think he's riding at his potential on the Kawasaki?
I think he's right there.
I think he's doing well. Not a whole lot of Supercrosses left.
No.
So I think Chad Reed is, as to no surprise, he's probably going to win the Supercross championship, and it's starting to kind of turn into the Chad Reed show, but that's
It's his turn.
It's his turn. You're right.
He's put his time in, for God's sake. If anybody's busted their butt out there and been in the shadow of somebody else for long enough, it's Chad Reed.
That is a very good point, because James Stewart sitting out and Ricky Carmichael retiring, it's good for him. He's the best.
He was giving Stewart a run for it in the beginning. I mean, in the beginning of the year, he earned it, man. He's definitely earned it. He works the crowd well. He's doing a lot of the things right.
He's a corporate guy, too. He understands what sponsorship means.
Gets the marketing. So Trey Kennard, how about him? He quite a race in the lights.
Trey Kennard's a guy we need to get on here real soon and talk to him again.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
But of course,
he ran all the way from the back of the pack right up to fourth, so he ran fast. And Martin Davalos is on the podium again. And obviously, Villopoto winning. So
it's good to see Martin Davalos back. He's one of them guys that trained down at the Georgia practice facility with Davey Millsaps, and Davey told us he was going to be really good. And, you know, we haven't seen him on the top of the box, but it's good to see him at least on the podium.
How about Villopoto, though, and its consistency? I mean, he is gathering consistency.
He's gathering consistency.
Yeah,
You're right. He didn't start off as strong as everybody thought. But
and it's been a nice improvement, but it's been very consistent in that his improvement is every single race. And that, I guess that's how you gain new sponsors. I think that's how you gain position and respect within the sport.
Well, I think the next big thing, the next big guy in motocross is going to be Ryan Dungey, and we've got him scheduled for the show.
Really?
Yeah, we're gonna have a conversation with Dan Klain here in the studio about Novak and talk about some of the funds and some of the registrations and some of the RTP money that I was looking in April 2008 issue of the AMA magazine, and they had a nice big article about RTP money, which is money that we can get grants from the government.
Yeah, the RTP program is actually 100% funded by the off-highway vehicle fuel tax, your federal fuel tax you pay on your ATVs, snowmobiles, and dirt bikes. That goes to the federal government. Then when it's split up and comes back to the state, and it's split up by number of machines and the size of your state, but that fuel comes back to the state of Iowa, for example, all states actually, and it's supposed to be divided up 30% for motorized projects, 30% for non-motorized projects, and then 40% of it's supposed to go to multi-use projects, something that's a trail system that allows motorized and non-motorized projects. In Iowa, for example, we rely heavily on that. It's one of the only grant processes or grant funding that we have for motorized use besides our registration programs.
That voice you're hearing, of course, is Dan Klain, who's kind enough, he's president of Novak, kind enough to come into our studio today. I know you were in town on business, and we'll talk about that business that you had. But thank you very much for coming in the studio, and you're welcome to stay throughout the show if you like. And then we're going to talk with Ryan Dungey, Supercross racer, a very well-established already Minnesota native.
Yeah,
guy that
we've
seen growing up as he's close to us. And then in the second hour, we're going to talk with Matt Mladen.
Like that guy.
Yeah, champion superbike racer. He's part of the Rockstar Makita Yoshimura Suzuki team. And then a guy I met down at Loretta Lynn's. As you guys know, I went to that Loretta Lynn's ride a few weeks ago.
I heard that you were going.
Yeah, you heard the commercial over and over.
Matter of fact, Jeff Gahn, if you're in there, do me a favor. Make sure that Tony's commercial about him going to Tennessee is out of the log. Will you do that for me?
And never again.
Please.
Never again. I want to hear that thing. But I met Robbie Jenks, who's a pro off-road racer, a guy that I watched race as a fan on a Yamaha, and then he moved to a factory KTM ride. And now the KTM-owned company is Husaberg.
Yeah.
They're not as weird as they look. I actually got to ride when they had a demo program, and I kind of sweet-talked them to make kind of a more than just one loop on the bike.
And
it's awesome. The Husaberg 450 is awesome.
What was it like, weight distribution and everything?
It's fine. It was
really?
Yeah, the old Husabergs were wide and fat and top heavy, and this bike was awesome. So,
well, that'll make Bunnell happy.
Yeah.
Mark was a huge Husaberg fan.
He still is, I think. He's all Yamahas now. But also Ken Lawton, managing partner of Go Nitro Tire, something that they've been using, you know, nitrogen in tires. That sounds kind of weird, but they've been using it in
NASCARs. NASCAR.
Yeah, they've been using it
for years.
Well,
it's a big deal. I met this guy down in St. Louis, and the interesting thing is it has technical advantages to our riders. No rust, less leakage. I didn't know this. Nitrogen molecules are three times the size of an oxygen molecule, so it doesn't leak out as fast. Think about that.
I'm starting to get a headache.
I already have one.
oxygen deprivation.
Well, maybe I should be using more nitrogen. Yeah. So it's kind of cool, and it's something that can affect in a positive way our riders.
Did we talk about the World Superbike?
No.
Round three.
Mm. Round three.
Valencia, Spain. Talk about that, Tice.
Lorenzo Lonzi won the race on the first round. Troy Bayliss second, and Troy Courser third. The interesting part was that Max Neukircher was leading until the last lap, last turn.
Got punted.
And Carlos Checa took him out. And instead of finishing second, Checa finished fifth, which he was able to finish, but Neukircher wasn't.
And I don't think they showed that on the TV coverage.
I don't know.
Some good websites if you're interested in superbike racing. World Superbike, Supersport, or Superstock is number one for headline news. You can go to cyclenews.com. They're really good at having
just a vast array of news.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's off-road or on-road. Cyclenews.com does very well. And then a little more dialed in website for like track lap results and lap times and stuff like that is worldsbk.com. So two really good websites to look at. Yep. What other news in Superbike?
Race two was Noriyuki Haga, which was his first win of the year. Troy Bayliss again was second, and Carlos Checa got third.
So you're looking at Italy, Australia?
Japan, Australia, and Spain in the second race, and Italy, Australia, and Australia in the second race.
So Australia first really race, doing well.
So the schedule this year, it looks like they're two of them in Spain in a row. Looks like the guys are not having to travel as much.
Yeah, I think they organized a little bit better, so the travel isn't quite so great. I mean, they used to have to travel from one side of the globe to the other all the time. So they changed that around. And this weekend was also the first round of the World Superstock, FIM Cup 1000.
Which is also the same track.
Same track, same weekend, yep. And some of these people, I can't pronounce their name.
That's right, neither can the announcers.
I'm going to stab at it. Brendan Roberts won the Superstock 1000 Cup, and David... Gugliano?
Good.
Italy.
Reporting for Pit Pass Radio is...
Live from the newsroom, Tony Tice.
I butchered his name. Boy, I'm sorry.
Gugliano, that works for me.
And Xavier Simeon.
Very good.
Was...
any other headlines before we go to break, Ed, you want to talk about? There's a lot of stuff going on right now.
Yeah, a lot of racing. The World Motocross Grand Prix got started in Europe this past weekend, so that was it was in Vulcan's Ward. How's that?
You know, I think that the GPs are something that we don't pay enough attention to. I'm not just talking about this radio show. I'm talking about in the United States. It seems like that we've all kind of got our nose up in the air about the racing in the United States, that we're so much better than, you know, and you look at it in Supercross, you'll see Chad Reed and all these guys from other parts of the world come over to our country and compete. But the GP guys, you know, Stefan Edwards was the man. Mm-hmm. And Ricky had his hands full every time he raced Stefan Edwards.
I don't think we have our nose up in there. I think what the difference is, and agree with me or disagree,
we're just better.
I just think that in the overall, it may be lack of knowledge. Our media over here is conditioned. You agree with that, Ed?
I totally agree with you. They're very focused, not even just on the racing and then also the riders. So, yeah, I think broadening and doing what we're doing is good. It gets people exposed to it. And once you get exposed, I mean, it's racing. So it's great.
But the national media, if you look at how they're like little trained circus animals, you know, sports is, you're trained to do basketball, football, baseball. Seriously, you don't step out of your comfort zone and you try to do the best job you can covering the sports that you know. If you're asked to cover something different, all of a sudden you're out of your element. So there may be a little bit of that to it, too.
Yeah, I think that's probably, you know, and there's so much good stuff going on here in the United States that you just don't have time. You don't have time. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Dan Klain, and Dan's going to do some edumacation for us.
Uh-oh.
About off-road.
Get your pencils out.
All right.
There'll be a test.
We'll be back after these. Thanks.
Radio. Our motorcycle talk show has grown dramatically over the past several months, and each month we are setting new records in listenership. We appreciate the support from the motorcycle community and that everyone is responding favorably to the changes we are making. We look forward to continually improving the show. Growth is very important to the future of Pit Pass Radio, so please be sure to tell everyone you know about us. Tell them they can listen live or download the podcast and listen whenever they want. Help us continue to build Pit Pass Radio.
Foremost offers specialized motorcycle policies designed specifically for motorcycle owners like you with an active lifestyle. We have policies with coverages for all types of cruisers, sport bikes, custom and classic models, and comprehensive coverages for things such as safety apparel, custom paint jobs, aftermarket parts and accessories, even towing and roadside assistance. Foremost also offers policies for manufactured homes, landlord, rental, and vacant properties, seasonal homes, motorhomes, travel trailers, off-road vehicles, snowmobiles, boats, personal watercraft, and classic automobiles. Get a quote or find out more at foremost.com or call them at 800-237-2060. That's foremost.com or 800-237-2060. Go ahead. Take Foremost along for the ride.
More Pit Pass Motor Racing Weekly coming up right after these messages on the Pit Pass Radio Network.
1460 KXNO.
If you're into sport bikes, then Vanwall Motorsports is the place for you. Yamaha took years of racing technology and applied them to street-legal sport bikes to give the R1 and R6 superior handling and performance. The powerful inline four-cylinder engine and fly-by-wire throttle gives the driver flawless response. Plus, with financing starting at $99 a month for 36 months, it's even easier to take home a remarkable deal. Get your Yamaha at Vanwall Motorsports just east of Perry on Highway 141 or at 1303 East Highway 92 in Indianola. Unapproved Yamaha credit card purchases 3108 through 53108 on new Yamaha R1 and R6 motorcycles. 7.99 APR and $99 payment for 36 months. Maximum $13,500 purchase. The payment may increase due to any debt cancellation or late payment fees. Paying only this amount will not pay off the purchase during this period. Therefore, standard rate up to 22.99% APR. Default rate 24.99%. Minimum finance charge $1. See store for details.
The all-new Kawasaki Brute Force 650 4x4i ATV will go places and do things most vehicles can't. A powerful, liquid-cooled V-twin engine provides the torque to excel under the most grueling circumstances. Check it out at your Kawasaki dealer today. Kawasaki ATVs with engines of 90cc and above are recommended for use only by persons 16 years of age or older. Kawasaki also recommends that all ATV riders take a training course.
See the new Kawasaki lineup today at Struthers Brothers, 5191 Northwest 2nd Avenue in Des Moines.
Hi, it's Scott Casper for Jack DeLeon Construction. Are you looking to build a custom home? Well, Jack DeLeon Construction has the experience, the resources, and crews to get your dream house built on time and on budget. Don't have plans? Perfect. Jack has over 1,200 on his website at jackdeleon.com. They can customize any plan to meet your needs. Call my friend Jack at 321-JACK. That's 321-5225. Jack DeLeon Construction.
Hot Cams is the leader in innovation, design, and development for aftermarket ATV and dirt bike high-performance camshafts. Hot Cams is the first company to provide cams from billet and not requiring a core exchange, allowing users to get their high-performance camshafts quicker and for less money. We ride, so we know what it's like to want affordable, reliable modifications for your machine. This is what Hot Cams is committed to providing. Regardless of what you're riding, your best choice for performance camshafts is always Hot Cams. Hot Cams has the hardware that delivers maximum power and performance with a minimum of insulation hassle. Hot Cams. Unleash the power within.
1460 KXNO.
Welcome back. Pit Pass Moto Racing Weekly's on the air. In our studio today, we have Dan Klein. He's the president of NOVAC, which is the National Off-Highway Vehicle Conservation Council, and you're also the executive director of the Iowa OHV Association. But before we get to you, Scott, you've got to pay tribute to one of our great sponsors.
Oh, I do. And I want to thank Ty Lue for continuing to support not only this program, but the sport. Ty Lue Performance Lubricants are your best choice when you need that ultimate lubrication in your bike. Years of dedication to technological advancement resulted in the highest quality products available for today's engine needs. Ty Lue formulated the best lubricant for both two- and four-stroke engines, dyno-tested and race-proven by many of the top motocross and off-road teams. Ask for the best. Ask for Ty Lue Ultimate Lubrication.
Thank you, Scott. In 2002, the Senate unfairly swept funds to balance their budget. And they took it from where?
The Iowa OHV Association program, or the ATV Association registration program within the DNR. At that time, we had a two-year registration program, and they caught us with 2 years of registrations in the bank, and we had to try to open parks, pay for our insurance, pay for equipment, all out of that money. And at that time, they swept our account of $775,000 to balance the budget. You know, and that's a lot of registrations. That was $15 a piece. They also swept $950,000 from the snowmobile account at that time, and they used that money for their snow groomers and the trail groomers. It set our program back a lot, and you know, we've done a good job to try to get the registrations up, and we have been. But still, we need that money back to continue the process on our parks. And
there was a vote that took place today.
Yeah, actually, a friend of ours, Representative Helen Miller from Fort Dodge, introduced an amendment to the DNR appropriations bill this year. The amendment number was H8367, and what that would have done, it would have reinstated all those swept funds out of our ATV and snowmobile program monies. Today, it went through that.
Is the money sitting there now that they can go back and say, you know what, we owe you this money, let's give it back? I mean, is it sitting there now? Or I mean, because if they had to balance a budget, I would assume that with the economy and the way things are, we're not in much better shape now, are we?
Well, there's actually a couple places they could do it. What she's introduced to do is take that money from the underground storage tank program within the DNR. Some people aren't real supportive of that. You know, we're sitting here with 6 years now without our money. We'd like to see it come from wherever we can get it
sure.
to do that.
So it belongs to the people of Iowa, right?
Right. It was a trust fund. It wasn't a, you know, the state looked at it at the time as state funds. It wasn't. It was a trust fund that we voluntarily put into to that program. It was a volunteer registration. It wasn't a mandatory registration. We put it there trusting that it was going to go to the parks and improve our sport, and it didn't. It went to the general fund to balance the budget, and
we're over budget. In other words, we have a windfall. We have a lot more money than they anticipated coming in through our tax dollars and whatnot.
Yeah, they did come out with that just the other day about that there was more money there. So, you know, if it could be coming out of the general fund, that'd be great. We don't care where it comes from. We would just like our money back so we can continue to improve the OHV in Iowa.
Okay, so before we move to the National OHV Conservation Council that you're the president of, what can we do in Iowa? If you're an Iowa resident listening to this program, what can we do to help reverse the situation?
It's critical that people contact their senators immediately. The number at the Senate is 515-281-3371. Contact your senator. Ask them to support this amendment. And again, the amendment number is H8367. But if you tell, and that's to the DNR appropriations bill, which is House File 2662. The main thing you want to tell them, just tell them you want to support the amendment to repay the ATV and snowmobile accounts.
Okay, to repeat the phone numbers, to call 515-281-3371.
Correct, and that's the Senate switchboard.
Okay, that'll get you, and when you talk to your senator, your representative, you want to talk about Bill H8367, House File 2662. It's one of the only ones of its kind, right?
Right. And they'll know what you're talking about. It's you know, we've been down there. I was down there all day. The snowmobilers are down there all day. We've been working this thing. We haven't given up on this. For 6 years now, we've been there every year wanting that money back. It was a trust fund. It shouldn't have been swept, in our opinion.
Just to get rid of you, I swear.
You would think.
Hey, I know this isn't, you know, real exciting to listen to if you're sitting in Southern California.
I disagree. Here's why. Because everybody out there is facing this kind of mandate, this kind of governmental regulation, whether it's sound, whether it's land usage, like McGrath had to deal with.
Right.
There's so many guys out there that are facing this, and this is one of our leaders right here. And by God, if this is an example here in the state of Iowa, and we can take a look at what happened in California, what's going on in Colorado, there's states all around the country,
Minnesota,
that are having problems. Minnesota, same thing.
Sound, they're
Florida,
really bearing down on there.
Without a doubt, it should be an example. The House vote today was 50-50. One more person calling, one more writer that would have got off their butt and called might have made that difference.
Mm-hmm. Man, I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, it's you know, we're out there trying to get our numbers in there.
So it gets us all on you, Tony.
Yeah, it's Tony's fault.
Yeah.
That's the only guy that rides dirt bikes in this room, so I guess it's my fault.
And that's Tony Wink.
Yeah. Okay, the National Off-Highway Vehicle Conservation Council. is a foundation organized to develop programs to help secure OHV recreation nationwide. Tell us what's going on currently. I just read in this in the AMA magazine, April of 08, and I had talked to you. We were driving somewhere, and I was flipping through this magazine. I thought, oh, that'll be interesting to bring it up. RTP money.
Yep, the Recreational Trails Program. Again, that's your fuel tax, the federal fuel tax you pay on your ATVs, snowmobiles, off-road vehicles. That money comes back to each state in the through the register or the Recreational Trails Program, and you have to write a grant and apply for that money. In Iowa, that's the only other funding we have right now other than our registration program. So, and it's an 80-20 match. So we can take $20 of our registration dollars, our ATV and off-road motorcycle registration dollars, and turn it into $100 with this RTP grant.
Wow.
It's crucial. We the only way we can fund some of these big projects, you know, our biggest project up in Fort Dodge we're working on, way over 70% or 80% of that's been funded through this Recreational Trails Program.
Okay. Out west, the Forest Service Travel Management Plan. Tell us about that. We're sadly, we don't have enough time to talk about this, so I want to cover everything that you guys do.
Okay. The Forest Service Travel Management Plan, out west especially, Iowa, we don't have any forest or BLM ground, but out west this is huge. Riders need to get involved. If the every road and trail in the Forest Service isn't inventoried properly and inventoried soon, it's not going to be there. If it's not on the motor vehicle user maps, it's not going to exist. So people have a lot to risk, and we're going to lose a lot of trails out there if the riders don't get involved and help go out and inventory this and work with the Forest Service. They do want to work with the riders.
So, how do they get involved?
Contact your local Forest Service representative or the territories, or you can call NOVAC at 800-348-6487, and we can get you in contact with the right people.
Or they can get online at nohvcc.org.
Right.
Right. Let's go out east to our studios in North Carolina. Ed Kuhlenkamp, haven't heard much from you on the show yet. I know you probably have a lot of stuff to talk to Dan Klein about.
I do. Dan, I'm on your website right now, and I'm wondering, for people who want to get involved, start a club, and what are the best ways, number one, to use your website, which is, I mean, full of information. I'm amazed at how much is here. And then to get started and to make a difference, and ideally not to create a fund that someone takes away. But, I mean, are there ways... What are the best ways to do this, I guess, and how do we best use your website or people who want to be involved with clubs?
The number one reason NOVAC is out there is to get riders involved, and the best way to do that is join your local club, your state associations. If you don't have one, we have a free club startup kit. We have state partners in each of our 47 states right now, but we can help in any of the states, help you get a club started, help you get a state association started. We try to get everybody working together. Way too often, you know, some states, maybe the dirt bikes and the ATVers aren't getting along. You know, these anti-people that don't like our sport, you know, they love nothing more than to see us not getting along. So we need to work together and stick together to get our riding opportunities, keep the ones we have, and open more. Get involved, you know, join AMA, join ATVA, the Blue Ribbon Coalition, and those other groups. NOVAC is not a membership-driven organization. We're a nonprofit education foundation.
So it's teamwork.
Right, teamwork. We're out there to work with everybody.
I think that's neat, too, because you don't compete for membership dollars with the AMA or the ATVA or any of those guys. You actually work with them.
Right. We're funded through the Motorcycle Industry Council. All your manufacturers, all your accessory companies that are members of the MIC, and SVIA, they support us to go out and work in partnership with everybody else out there that's trying to improve our opportunities.
Your main goal is to get riders and clubs organized, and you've got representatives, what, all over?
Yeah, we just held our 18th annual NOVAC conference out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. One of the best things we've ever done, and it's the seventh year in a row that the National Off-Highway Vehicle Program managers have worked with us and have our conferences together, you know. So it's the Forest Service, it's the BLM, it's the state agency, the land managers working with us, the riders, to improve our sport and keep things moving forward.
I was writing an article for a magazine a while back, and I called you for some quotes to put in there, you know. And as I was writing the article, I was talking about the land use in Iowa. because that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's where I live, obviously. And, yeah, I know, you're laughing
sorry.
At me. But right now, it looks pretty good in Iowa. I mean, as far as public riding, it's better than it ever has been. Now, my question to you is, nationwide, what's the situation like? I hear all the time that the sand dunes are getting shut down, and I lived out there for a while, and then that's kind of, you know, that kind of hits home for me because it's like, man, some of those hills that I used to race up and down, they're gone. And right. are we ever? What's it look like?
Well, you know, in Iowa, we're very fortunate with our registration programs, our associations, and that we're very well organized. Our laws and those things, we're 49th in the nation for the least amount of public ground, so we don't have a whole lot of land to work with. But there are a lot of states out there. New York, for example, they've got a tremendous registration program, millions of dollars, but the government or the government legislators sweep their fund every single year.
How so do you stop it?
You got to get organized until all the riders get off their rears, get out there. And you know, we look back here in Iowa, how many gravel pits and places we used to ride as kids. That's where we started. Those are all gone. Either they've switched ownership, they're gone, liability reasons, whatever. You know, it's just not there. And unfortunately, out west, you know, a lot of these guys are taking all these riding areas open or for granted. You know, 20,000 acres is nothing out there, but when it's gone, it's too late. They need to get active now, so don't take it for granted.
But isn't that part of how America has evolved? We constantly take ownership of something, shut it down for public use, start it up for private. That's why I'm saying it doesn't matter what state you live in. If you think you're not in danger today, you're probably right. But I guarantee you, tomorrow, the week after, the year after that, 5 years from now, don't take anything for granted. Be active in the sport.
It's too late then. Once you've started, it's too easy to just go out on Saturday and ride and forget about it. Take it for granted that area is going to be there.
And Ed, we're as interested as anybody to keep this property clean, to keep it managed, to keep it well kept. So it's good for everybody, not just people on two or four wheels.
Absolutely. And are you seeing growth in people who are interested in getting involved? I mean, are there positive trends there with people taking it seriously now with so much news about land closures and what's happening?
Yeah, we're seeing more, and again, it's the key that, you know, we're out there trying to improve the sport. We got the small percentage of the people that are giving us a black eye, just like any other group, rider group, or any recreationist group. We're no different than the hikers and bikers and equestrians. We got our fair share of people that aren't doing the right thing, but yeah, we are trying to get more organized, and I think it is going to pay off in the long run.
Are you working the media? Are you doing PR? Are you doing things to get positive PR for what you're doing in the national media or in the media?
Yeah, we are. We work with MIC and all the manufacturers to improve the image of the sport a lot. And we're doing that on the state level, too, trying to, you know, improve the image.
All right.
Dan Klein.
I don't know we could do any. I mean, we could have him back again and again and again because I learned something every time we talk to this guy.
I think what we need to do is we need to have a link on our website, especially when we build our new website that we're working on.
If we only had a website designer in the studio.
There he is.
Hi, Joe.
Dan Klein, I commend you on your efforts and thank you so much on behalf of all the off-road riders across the nation and ATV riders. Thank you very much.
But get off your rears, guys. Get involved. Join a club. Give us a call. Check out the NOVAC website. We got an extensive library of information out there. We can help everybody.
NOHVCC.org. You going to stick around or
sure.
you going to take off?
No, be happy
okay,
to.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk to your favorite racer, Ryan Dungey.
Right.
I know he's your favorite.
Thanks.
Supercross Lights racer, rock star Makita Suzuki. Stick around. There's more Pit Pass Moto Racing Weekly right after this.
Get the Internet Hole Shot with Cycle News Online. America's weekly motorcycle magazine is as close as your keyboard at cyclenews.com. Every week you can get the fastest motorcycle news, race results, stories, rider interviews, and road race coverage all at Cycle News Online. Remember, for the fastest motorcycle racing news on the planet, daily updates, and a lot more, log on to cyclenews.com.
This is Ed Kuhlenkamp with Pit Pass Radio. Our motorcycle talk show has grown dramatically over the past several months, and each month we are setting new records in listenership. We appreciate the support from the motorcycle community and that everyone is responding favorably to the changes we are making. We look forward to continually improving the show. Growth is very important to the future of Pit Pass Radio, so please be sure to tell everyone you know about us. Tell them they can listen live or download the podcast and listen whenever they want. Help us continue to build Pit Pass Radio.
America's Moto Racing Talk Show, Pit Pass Moto Racing Weekly on the Pit Pass Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Pit Pass Motor Racing Weekly. We're having some trouble.
Computer issues. Well, see, what happens is the computer automatically fires commercials, and when it doesn't, it's hard to override the automatic command. Jack, I don't know what Jack does, but Jack does magic stuff.
That's how he rolls.
Is that it?
I think we're still trying to get Ryan Dungy, so I guess we'll talk a little bit more about Novak. Anything we didn't cover, Dan, while we got some time? Turn your microphone on.
There we go.
Sorry about that.
How about the Trail Builders Conference?
Say it again, Ed.
The Trail Builders Conference. That looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't attend the Trail Builders conference, but one thing, you know, we're pushing all the time is when we're out there developing trails to make them sustainable so we don't have to go out there and keep working on them. We don't have the time or money. No one really has the time or money to keep going out and replacing or rebuilding these trails that weren't designed the first time right. That's a big thing. You know, when we're out there, the sound, you know, I don't need to tell you how important the sound issue is. That thing is huge. We're losing riding areas because of it. So I know the manufacturers, the aftermarket companies are doing a great job on getting things.
Are they though? Quieter.
Well, they are. They're improving a lot. They know that we're losing some riding opportunities because of it. It's anytime we go to, right. It's anytime there's a park project that we're working on, that's always the number one concern from anybody in the area is the sound.
Well, we just went to that thing down at Loretta Lynn's, and they were doing sound tests, and I was like, come on, we're in the middle of the woods.
But it's not just, you know, we got to think of everybody. I don't care how far away we are. As a matter of fact, I got to think about Ryan Dungy in Minnesota listening to my stereo if it's too loud. And I know Ryan's on the line right now.
Oh, good.
And that's my question to Ryan is, Ryan, my stereo is in the parking lot outside. It's up full blast. Can you hear it?
What's that?
No, you can't hear it? See? No need for the meters. All right. Good job by you.
Ryan, you're at the gym.
Yeah. No, I just getting ready to go. And, no, I mean, I'm just on your radio show, man. I'm pumped to be here.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. Talk about your West Coast Lights points run, and then talk about the 450.
Well, you know, obviously, a lot of people probably know about the West Coast. You know what happened and all. You know, had a few bad rounds towards the end there, and just kind of wasn't myself. I guess you could say I just kind of lost it there a little bit. But then going into
tell us about that though. When you say you lost it, you had a few bad rounds. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, it just basically, you know, what happened in San Francisco. San Francisco was the start of it, and instead of, you know, like brushing it off my shoulders and like just, you know, saying I had a bad day, you know, I let it get to me more than I should have, you know, like, and I kind of felt like I don't know how you want to put it, but
it became a festering sore.
Yeah, I just doubted myself. I started thinking a little bit, probably too much, and it just was just, you know, I learned the hard way for sure. It's just kind of sucks it had to be like that, but you know, next time now I know. But, you know, then going, you know, obviously, you know, with the 450s, though, going into that helped. You know, I wanted to make better of a bad situation, so we went with that, you know, went that route, and Roger and everybody was cool with it. So it was just kind of to take it to, you know, try to forget about what happened and move on, you know, but also, you know, get experience from it and get back to myself, you know, and just really, you know, enjoy it where I should have been instead of thinking so much about it and rather just going out and race, you know. So,
Ryan Dungy, question for you, young man, and that is, Tony has largely and openly and publicly at that identified you as one of the great young riders that is racing in America today.
The next big thing.
The next big thing. Does that put additional pressure on your shoulders knowing that Tony has openly come out there and stated that?
And that's Tony Wink.
Not at all, man. That's my goal is to be the next big thing. And you know, I work hard to be there, and you know, hopefully one day we get there. But it's just like it is. It's going to take a lot of small steps to get there, and it takes time, you know. It doesn't happen overnight. So.
Well, you're obviously a big thing on the Rockstar Makita Suzuki team, but what I mean is you're going to be the next – the man. You're going to be the next – in the 450 class, I believe that you will grow into that position.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just like you say, yeah, just time and experience and learning. But, you know, I think I really have to take in what happened, you know, and not let it happen again, because it was just a bad deal. And, you know, I'm better than that, and, you know, like, I'm better than what I showed myself those last few rounds. And so it's just a shame, you know, what I did. But we're trying to, you know, build news now and trying to move forward, you know, put it behind.
Can we talk about the Target deal a little bit, your new sponsorship or your new relationship there? That's good news,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, that was an awesome deal. You know, I actually, I flew in, I think, on Thursday, because I had to do some press stuff. And while I was there, you know, right before Minneapolis, the race, I met up with, you know, Devin O'Brien and Troy Michaels and another good friend. And we all met up you know, we've been planning this. It's been about a year, you know, with me and, you know, my family and Target and Tony have been talking, my agent. So it was just like, it was awesome to finally get it signed and become a Target athlete and meet up. And it all happened over dinner one night. And it was good to get feeling to know that, like, it's a done deal and moving forward. But they're a great sponsor, great people, and hopefully do great things, you know. And I was in shock, man. I was just like, I couldn't believe it, you know, to pull off a deal like that.
Well, you know,
a lot of great people.
Ryan, the cool thing about Target, they're everywhere, number one. But they started as the Dayton Hudson Corporation. I'm from Minneapolis as well originally. Dayton's very conservative company, used to be closed on Sunday. Hudson, a wonderful, wonderful jeweler, very conservative as well. Target, one of the leaders in mass merchandising, like, you know, Kmart used to be. But Target is out there, very classy company. This is their first venture into motorsports, so they really, you know, they really believe in you.
Yeah, I mean, dude, for them to go out, you know, out of the way to do this is, it's just great, you know. And not only for me, I think it's great for our sport, you know, to bring in outside sponsors. I think it's great, you know, the more exposure, you know, all that good stuff. But I just, like I said, man, I'm really pumped on it. I'm looking forward to doing to working with them, and it's just a great opportunity, you know, to come about. So.
Ed, I feel bad for the guy that has to ride the Kmart bike, because he's going to have a blue light on his helmet.
yeah, I know, huh?
you like that one, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, what about this Show Air, this motor mountain bike team you're on? Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, it's you know, Johnny O'Mara, you know, is my trainer, and his mountain bike team, the one he races for, is Show Air. So, you know, it was just kind of a deal that we've just kind of worked out, and they gave me a free bike to ride and train on, and maybe even do a few races while I'm at it, you know, mountain bike stuff. It's just a cool thing that we came together a little bit and to be a part of it. It's great. You know, they're great people working with Ty and Johnny and a bunch of others, but it's just, you know, it's just kind of a low key deal or whatnot, but it's just, I don't know what you want to call it.
Do you use mountain biking a lot in your training program? Or is it a big part of what you do, or is it just?
Yeah, I mean, mountain biking is kind of my cross training as far as, you know, riding and stuff like that to get fit on the bike endurance wise and all that. But it's just, you know, out here when I'm out here in California in Laguna, it's all hills. So there's really no mountain biking or no road biking. I'm sorry. And, it's pretty much all mountain biking. So it's just good. It's really good fitness, and it really works, you man. It's awesome. I love doing it.
We're talking with Ryan Dungey, Supercross Lights Racer, Rockstar, Makita Suzuki. We talked about the Target deal and how important that is. You recognized it yourself, stepping outside of traditional sponsors. Ed, we talk about that frequently, what it takes to bring outside people into our sport and recognize the value of the hundreds of thousands of people that watch us on television, that go see it in person, pay the big money to see the great sports live. I think it's fascinating that Ryan is out there busting his hump tonight at the gym and then coming on the program to talk about that and talk about his racing. But, you know, really it is about endurance. So you've got to be at the top of your game every day of the week.
Right, right. And, yeah, I mean, too, it takes a lot of physical, but also, you know, you got to know mentally that you do it, because if you can't do it mentally, then all the physical work you put in is really for nothing. So.
Who's coaching you mentally?
Just myself, really, you know.
You got to call home.
Nobody can really coach you on that. You know, you got to believe in yourself, and nobody else can do that for you, you know. It's all you. It's all up in your head. So.
Roger DeCoster's got to be guiding you a little bit, isn't he, in that way?
Yeah. I mean, there's parts that, you know, like team manager Roger, you know, he you know, as far, and Johnny, you know, they all give you great advice, and all that advice they give you kind of, you know, works towards that, you know, your mental, like, you know, like whether it's a good feeling they give you, and more, you believe in yourself even more, you know. It's all that, you know, it all combines and comes together. So I think, yeah, I mean, it's me, but it's also, you know, all the people around me too, you know. So
you're heading to Detroit on the 450?
Right. No, I know. No.
You're done.
Yeah, I was done with the 450 after Minneapolis.
Okay. And then, so you've got some time off from racing until, what is it, April 26th? Yep, Seattle?
Seattle, yep.
And then... Talk to us about the points run that you're making right now with some of the guys that you're racing with.
Right now I'm in second, and I'm 32nd in points, and I'm 6 points down, I believe.
From J-Law?
Yes. And then, I mean, basically, you know, I know what I got to do, and, you know, the rest is out of my hands, and I can't control everything, so I'm just going to do what I've got to do, and hopefully it'll come around, and, you know, to win the championship would be great. But if it don't happen, it don't happen. You know, there's always another year and more championships to win. So, you know, I know what I did wrong, and I know what I got to fix. And, you know, it's sad to go about that way, but it's just got to forget it. You know,
well, it's part of
positive.
Yeah, I think it's part of growing, and I think it's part of learning. And this is, you're in the lights class, and you've got another year of at least of the lights class.
Right.
And, you know, the before before the season started, we had Big E on the show, one of your good friends, who's now at 661. He was your sponsor at Answer and Pro Taper, or Answer anyway. And he told me that on the show, he said, you've got it covered. And which, you know, he's your biggest fan probably, but he said that you've got this series covered, and we all kind of believed it. And I still don't, I'm not counting you out, buddy. You're a few points down, but I know you can do well. And you know, we'd get Jason Lawrence on here in a minute and talk to him. But, you know, I know you're going to do very well. And I think you're taking the right approach about it, but not putting any pressure on yourself and just saying, you know, I made mistakes you know, we're going to go out there and do our best. And is that something that you've been, is that something, something your mom's been talking to you about? I know your mom, she's a wonderful lady.
Yeah.
She been coaching you?
On what?
On your attitude. I think it's awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's definitely my parents, you know, they keep me in check, and, you know, it's, you know, they keep me from.
I think it's awesome, you know? Because he's a Minnesota kid, and, you know, when you first came on the show this year, you said, yeah, I have a winning attitude, or a positive winning attitude, and I think that's awesome. And I think that so many riders forget that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, I'm just trying to do my best, give it my all, you know. It's and have fun with it, you know, not being so serious about everything.
So, okay, can we take a break, or we need to take a break? Okay. Ryan Dungy, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule.
No, no problem, man. And thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Good luck in Seattle.
Hey, thank you.
All right.
Talk to you guys. Have a good night.
You too. Ryan Dungey, Supercross Lights Racer. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Novak and what else is going on in the motorcycle industry. Stick around. There's more Pit Pass right after these.
1460 KXNO.
Right now, Vanwall Motorsports invites you to the Yamaha Get Out and Ride sales event. With huge incentives, including customer cash on select models and low monthly payments on every Yamaha motorcycle, dirt bike, ATV, and Rhino side-by-side. Save big on Yamaha sport bikes, including the incredible R1 and R6. Ride off on a YZ dirt bike, like the YZ450F, the same bike Supercross champion Chad Reed rides. If ATVs are more your thing, then get out and ride a class-leading YFZ450 or Raptor 700R sport ATV, or a huge selection of super tough Grizzly and Big Bear utility ATVs. There's even great incentives on every Rhino side-by-side, including the new fuel-injected Rhino 700. So visit Vanwall Motorsports just east of Perry on Highway 141 or at 1303 East Highway 92 in Indianola for a great deal. Then get out and ride your brand-new Yamaha. Hurry, offers end soon. On approved credit, see dealer for details and ATV age recommendations. For safety and training information, call the ATV Safety Institute at 1-800-887-2887. On the Yamaha Rhino, always wear your seatbelt, helmet, eye protection, and protective clothing. See store for details.
PivotWorks is the original bearing and seal kit and is the fast, easy, and complete way to maintain your ride's bearing and seals. PivotWorks front fork kits are the ultimate item for the do-it-yourself guy at home in the garage or the dealer doing service work. These kits contain everything needed to do fork rebuilding: seals, dirt scrapers, upper and lower Teflon brushings, and O-rings.
Monster Energy AMA Supercross and FIM World Championship at Texas Stadium, Irvine, Texas. It was Chad Reed on the Yamaha. Josh Hill took second, and Davey Millsaps took third. Now, Kevin Windham, making a good run, but he only got fourth this weekend. And how about Timmy Ferry in fifth?
All right. Only got fourth.
That's what I said.
Gee, you're hard on him.
I am hard on him.
That's a tough class right there.
It is a tough class, and it's kind of neat to see Josh Hill coming up there, young guy. You know, we've had a lot. We've had, what, six different winners in the 450 class this year?
Is it that many?
Four, five, six, something like that. Wow. Yeah, it's been a lot of winners. Usually you see that in the lights class, but it's been pretty neat.
Yeah, you usually see about two in the the motocross.
It's good, though. I think it's good to build. It's good to build a series. You know, the Supercross had a nice long time with Jeremy McGrath, and they marketed Jeremy McGrath, and it did well for him. But I think it's good to see some new guys in there. All right, we're going to take a six-minute break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Matt Mladen, champion superbike racer, rock star, Makita Yoshimura,
yeah,
Suzuki.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, big guest for us. Also, we're going to talk with Robbie Jenks, pro off-road racer and regional sales manager for Husaberg. Had a chance to ride him, a lot of fun. And then Ken Lawton, managing partner at Go Nitro Tire. Stick around in 6 minutes. There's more Pit Pass Moto Racing Weekly. Thanks for listening.
is David Bebout, otherwise known as Hillbilly, president of Middle Tennessee Dirt Riders, and you are listening to Pit Pass Moto Racing Weekly.
From our studios in Des Moines, Iowa, this is America's motor racing talk show, Pit Pass Motor Racing Weekly on the Pit Pass Radio Network.
Hi, this is Brock Sellards with Babbitt's Online Monster Kawasaki Pro Circuit. You're listening to Pit Pass Radio.
You can reach us toll-free at 866-333-5966. 866-333-5966. Or you can email the show at tony@pitpassradio.com.
Hey, this is Jeremy McGrath, and you're listening to Pit Pass Moto Racing Weekly.
Now from our studios in Des Moines, Iowa, here are your hosts, Tony Tice, Ed Kuhlenkamp, Tony Wink, Scott Casper, and I'm the guy that makes them sound good, Jack DeLeon. This is Pit Pass Moto Racing Weekly.
Welcome back, Pit Pass Moto Racing Weekly. I'm Tony Wink, in the studio with me today, again, is Scott Casper. Welcome back to the studio. Also, Tony Tice.
Where?
In the studio with us. John
He's
Albert.
Here.
You.
And a special guest in studio is Dan Klain from NOVAC, National Off-Highway Vehicle Conservation Council.
Thanks again for having me,
Thanks
guys.
For sticking around.
Did we thank him for his service?
Yeah, we commended him and clapped.
And we did clap?
We clapped. Okay. Well, you clapped.
Okay, so we got that out.
No money exchange hands, though.
Not yet. That's a little later.
Also, big thanks to Ryan Dungy for taking time out of his busy schedule. Now, in this first hour, we're going to talk with, or the second hour, we're going to talk with champion superbike racer, rock star Makita Yoshimura Suzuki. And there's no other road racer quite like this guy. He's a 36-year-old Australian, only rider to ever win six AMA superbike championships. God. He has the most AMA superbike race wins in a single season, with 12 victories in 07, and he's the first rider to ever take all of the AMA Superbike pole positions, in this case 10, in 1 year, with his career total being 52. And, of course, I'm talking about Matt Mladen. Matt, welcome to the program.
G'day, guys.
You got time to talk to us now? We've read all these credits about you.
The show's over, I reckon.
Good for you. Good job by you, Matt.
Oh, thank you.
Something else that he's done that there aren't many people in the world that have done, and that's race a Kajiva.
Kajiva?
Yep. GP bike.
500 back in 93, you don't remind me. I was just talking to someone about that the other day, 15 years since I was in Europe that 1 year. It makes me feel old, but I'm only 36. I don't think that's that old, but anyway.
Well, you know, you were young when you were there, right?
Yeah, well, I was 21.
There you are.
He's just a baby.
Yeah, well, a fast baby.
You know what they say about those Australians? Dingo ate my baby.
Yeah, well, you know, it's I had some reasonably good speed back then, but certainly from an experience point of view, I was very, very, very wet behind the ears, as they'd say.
What is the deal between you and Ben Spies? This is like we had Ben on a few weeks ago, and two of the fastest guys to ever race. I mean, this may be the most competitive of two racers in the business today. Would you say that's true, Tony?
I would say that it's beyond that point because they win everything between the two of them.
Well, that's hardly fair.
Well, he's already won the Daytona 200. It's only been one race into the season, and he won it outright. 200 miles, he wins by 3.3 seconds.
How do you answer that charge?
Well, man, you know, honestly, I mean, between Ben and myself, I mean, you know, this. You know, we're teammates. We happen to be the, you know, two guys that have, over the last few years, have won just about everything. And, you know, and we're very, very competitive. I mean, he's a young guy on his way up trying to make his way to Europe. And I'm a not-so-young guy who's still riding pretty fast and can manage to get up there. But, you know, Ben's got that number one plate the last couple of years, even though we've won more races. You know, he's got that number one plate the last couple of years. So, you know, we're working hard to try and get back up there and then see if we can't serve up a little bit more to the young blokes.
Serve it up. On a silver platter. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, you guys. Oh, go ahead, Ed.
I was going to say, Matt, what did you change coming into this year? I mean, last year was highly competitive, 1 point separating you and Ben Spies. I mean, a phenomenal season for both of you, but What do you change some things up? What's new this year? I mean, you come out of the gate in Daytona and you win it, so you're obviously on fire. So
yeah, I mean, honestly, for me, as far as my approach to racing goes, nothing's changed. I mean, I was very, very focused last year to go out there and win as much as possible. And you know, we crashed out of the lead in a couple races. Daytona was one of them. We remounted and finished 10th. And we crashed out of the lead at Miller up there in Utah. You know, we finished fourth in that race. We got a red flag out of that one because I was laying on the side of the track trying to scrape myself out of the dirt. And red flag came out and managed to get back in that race and got a fourth. And, you know, so as far as the approach to the racing goes, nothing's really changed. I mean, I'm going out there to try and win every race possible. But, you know, there's a few things I've done personally different. I've lost some more weight, and I focused really hard in the off season to get rid of a bit of muscle off my frame, try and get some weight down, and just try and do things a little bit differently. And you know, it seems at Daytona that things went pretty well, and so far in testing, we've been very, very fast. Everywhere we've tested, we've been under the lap record, and so you know, it's going to be an interesting season, and looking forward to it. And you know, I certainly still enjoy getting up every morning to push hard and to try and, you know, win more races.
Well, you have one of the strongest team captains or team owners, I guess, Don Sakakura, of any team out there. I don't care who it is. Those guys, man, they work hard. And it just amazes me that every time you go out there, you guys have the best bike.
Well, you know, I mean, there's no doubt about it that you know, we Suzuki, you know, focuses very, very hard on racing, and all the way from, you know, Suzuki here in America, then back to the factory in Japan, they work very, very hard to give us what we need and the right tools and the right equipment to go and do the right job. And you know, without that connection back with the factory in Japan, it would be very, very hard. And you know, we over the years of doing a lot of winning, obviously I won my first championship almost a decade ago over here, and since that time we've built up a good relationship with the factory of Suzuki in Japan, and you know, in that time, you know, they've built up trust in us, and you know, a lot of the things we ask for comes our way very, very quickly, because they know that we're not asking for something looking for excuses. We ask for it when we feel that we need to try something else, and most things that we ask for seem to work pretty good. So we have a very, very good relationship, you know, with Suzuki Japan, and the team does, and you know, all around, that's how it has to be if you're going to win in competitive racing circles.
Yeah, Matt, and you guys have been doing such a great job. You can't go anywhere without seeing your headlines here. What I want to know is, where did Matt Mladen come from? How did this all get started? Talking about being a fast baby and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, you know, I started riding motorcycles before my fourth birthday. I got a bike, and which was you know, over what, 32 years ago now, or just a bit more, and from there I started competing at the age of I think before my seventh birthday. And
oh, wow.
You know, I keep reminding a few people, and it's a bit of a running joke that, you know, when they talk about how fast Ben is and stuff, I say, well, you know, the experience comes into play as well. And then I keep reminding them that I won my first national championship as a kid 4 years before Ben was born. that was in 1980 or whatever it was. So, you know, that dirt track championships back then. I think I won a motocross championship, my first motocross championship on an 80cc, you know, as a junior back in 1981 or 82 or thereabouts. And so I've been around a long time, doing it a long time, and you know, I switched over from motocross to road racing in 1990. And you know, I'd had a fairly successful motocross career, but just needed a change, I guess, and to do something different. You know, we started from there, and then in 1991 was my first year racing the Australian Championship, a 250 production bike, and I won the national championship in my first year, and then got a chance to race the factory superbike for the Kawasaki team in 1992, and won the superbike championship in my first year, and then got shot over to Europe, and handily got my butt kicked. But, you know, after such a meteoric rise, you know, everyone's blowing steam up your backside, and you start to actually believe that you're better than what you actually are. And while you can ride a motorcycle fairly decent, there's a lot more that goes to being competitive at a high level. you know, which I learnt in 1993. I certainly got it handed to me well and truly, and it was, while it wasn't a great experience at the time, it's certainly something that I can look back on and truly say that, you know, it helped me become the racer that I became after that and over the last decade. And you know, so in every negative, there's always positives if you want to look at it the right way.
We're talking with one of the most accomplished superbike or road racers in the world, Matt Mladen, part of the Rockstar Makita Yoshimura Suzuki team. And you mentioned motocross, and we talked to Aaron Yates a while back, and a lot of the road racer guys, as they were growing up, raced motocross. Do you still get to do any of that now?
I haven't raced motocross for, I think I've done a motocross race about 5 years ago, myself back home in Australia in the off season just for a little bit of fun. But do I do it on a, you know, on a weekly basis or a daily basis? No, I don't. I rarely get on the motocross bike these days, to be honest with you.
We'll front you the fee if you want to come. We've got a race this weekend.
Yeah.
We'll put you in two different classes. I don't know if you're interested. Ed, can we afford that out of the account, do you think?
Well, you know, I still enjoy getting on the motocross bike, but it's just one of those things that, you know, by the time you load a bike up and go to the motocross track and do everything and come back, you've shot 6 hours of your day. And these days I have a lot going on in my life, and, you know, with business and many other things, and I just really can't afford to give away 6 hours to go and play around in the dirt these days. So, you know, along with my other training and the other stuff that I do, I'm happy with the way things are going. But, you know, I do a little bit still motocross when I get back home to Australia. I live on a fairly big property, and I ride out of the garage and have motocross tracks down the back, et cetera, et cetera. So I still do enjoy it a little bit.
You know what's refreshing to me is that when you have a guy of this stature, okay, and let's face it, he's a hero to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
He still has a great sense of humor about him, and maybe that is one of the keys to his success, do you think?
And a cool accent.
The girls like that. Of course, living in Henderson, Nevada, of course, Henderson is growing. Do you still get a chance to ride around the outskirts of Vegas and Henderson? Do you go out in the desert much at all?
Oh, no, not at all. Like I said, and you know, while we spend a little bit of time in one place, we do a lot of traveling, and we fly a lot, and actually flying's become one of those things that I enjoy on a you know, away from the racing, etc. As well, we fly to the races in our aeroplane, and also my wife's also a pilot as I am, and we like to, you know, fly during the week just for fun and go and check things out.
What are you talking about? A single engine, a twin engine? What are you talking?
I have a Pilatus PC-12 that we fly to all the races.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, well, good for you.
Turboprop, and you know, it's a nice aeroplane, but we really enjoy flying our little Cessna around. It's our little plane. It's good fun, and there's nothing like getting up there and just getting away from it and leaving the world, below, and we really enjoy that. So, you know, we do a lot of those types of things. So, no, getting out in the desert and doing too much really is something that I used to do and used to enjoy on a daily basis. But these days, things have changed.
Well, there you go, Tony.
So, thanks. Have you gotten into sliding the airplane like the bike or not?
Well, you know, you can fly the airplane, but when you hanging the tail out in the airplane, typically you're flying it all crossed up, so it's not quite right. But
you'd be drafted behind some jet or something.
A friend of mine did that with me in a plane. I was, yeah, okay, you can stop now.
Yeah, we have some fun every now and then. But in all honesty, flying's something that we really enjoy to do these days, and certainly something that I want to take further and get more into when racing's finished and I have a bit more time.
Well, Matt, we've got to have you back on again. Promise you come back again soon, okay?
No, no worries.
Keep winning, man. That, I mean, just an incredible career to watch. Incredible.
He's going two for two in a week.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll try. Thanks very much, guys.
Matt Mladen, when we come back, we're going to talk with Robbie Jenks. He's the pro off-road racer and now a regional sales manager for Husaberg. He's a longtime racer. We'll find out how he likes being on the other side of the fence. This is Pit Pass Moto Racing Weekly. Away from the sun that shines into
the darkest place, I'm so far down. Away from the sun.
This is Ed Coolenkamp from Pit Pass Radio. Pit Pass Radio is the fastest growing weekly motorcycle radio talk show. Our show provides a great opportunity for advertisers looking to reach the very desirable motorcycle demographic. If you're in the motorcycle industry and looking for new advertising ideas, or work for a company outside the industry that wants to reach motorcycle enthusiasts, get in touch with me. My email is listed on the contacts page at www.pitpassradio.com. Advertise with Pit Pass Radio and start reaching our listeners today.
Foremost offers specialized motorcycle policies designed specifically for motorcycle owners like you with an active lifestyle. We have policies with coverages for all types of cruisers, sport bikes, custom and classic models, and comprehensive coverages for things such as safety apparel, custom paint jobs, aftermarket parts and accessories, even towing and roadside assistance. Foremost also offers policies for manufactured homes, landlord, rental, and vacant properties, seasonal homes, motorhomes, travel trailers, off-road vehicles, snowmobiles, boats, personal watercraft, and classic automobiles. Get a quote or find out more at foremost.com or call them at 800-237-2060. That's foremost.com or 800-237-2060. Go ahead. Take Foremost along for the ride.
More Pit Pass Moto Racing Weekly coming up right after these messages on the Pit Pass Radio Network.
1460 KXNO.
Hey, it's Scott Casper for Jack Daly on Construction. Recently, I got to watch Jack in action as he remodeled my old video store and turned it into a 24-hour fitness facility. Jack not only got the work done on time, he came in well below budget, and the place looks incredible. When Jack ran into issues in the building, he got them solved quickly, and he kept the project moving right along. Now, if you have a commercial space or residential needs, I want you to call my friend Jack. Call him at Jack Daly on Construction, 321-JACK, that's 321-5225, commercial or residential, Jack Daly on Construction.
If you're into sport bikes, then Vanwall Motorsports is the place for you. Yamaha took years of racing technology and applied them to street-legal sport bikes to give the R1 and R6 superior handling and performance. The powerful inline four-cylinder engine and fly-by-wire throttle gives the driver flawless response. Plus, with financing starting at $99 a month for 36 months, it's even easier to take home a remarkable deal. Get your Yamaha at Vanwall Motorsports just east of Perry on Highway 141 or at 1303 East Highway 92 in Indianola. Unapproved Yamaha credit card purchases 3108 through 53108 on new Yamaha R1 and R6 motorcycles. 7.99 APR and $99 payment for 36 months. Maximum $13,500 purchase. The payment may increase due to any debt cancellation or late payment fees. Paying only this amount will not pay off the purchase during this period. Therefore, standard rate up to 22.99% APR. Default rate 24.99%. Minimum finance charge $1. See store for details.
If you've resolved to lose weight, work out regularly, or get help planning meals and eating healthier foods, you can do it all at Fitness World West. The certified personal trainers will set up a program that you can stick to and actually enjoy. Fitness World West has something for everyone, especially their new flat screens with 80 channels on each individual treadmill, elliptical, cross trainer, and bike. They also have an indoor pool, whirlpool, sauna, steam room, indoor track, and tons of weights and machines. You're sure to find new friends and a new you at Fitness World West.
Are you passionate about motorcycles? Ever heard the saying that you should make a career out of what you love to do? MotorcycleIndustryJobs.com is a state-of-the-art online job board built exclusively for the power sports industry. MotorcycleIndustryJobs.com connects job candidates who are passionate about the industry with companies and dealerships in the industry. Upload resumes, receive new job notifications, or just surf the website for your dream job. Turn your passion into a career at MotorcycleIndustryJobs.com.
PivotWorks is the original bearing and seal kit and is the fast, easy, and complete way to maintain your ride's bearing and seals. PivotWorks front fork kits are the ultimate item for the do-it-yourself guy at home in the garage or the dealer doing service work. These kits contain everything needed to do fork rebuilding: seals, dirt scrapers, upper and lower Teflon brushings, and O-rings. PivotWorks has spent over a year developing the proper rubber compounds to assure that you are getting the absolute highest quality components. Like all PivotWorks products, everything is in one simple, easy kit, all for much less than OEM cost. PivotWorks. Fast, easy, complete.
Welcome back to Pit Pass Radio. Big thanks to Matt Maladin, champion superbike racer, rock star Makita Yoshimura Suzuki guy. Probably the one of the most
successful
road racers.
Yep.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Also want to thank producer Randy Crimmins for stepping in for Jack DeLeon. Has some personal family issues, and we appreciate Randy stepping up to the plate for the next few weeks. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate that.
I want to correct myself on the the Daytona 200 win. That was the Superbike win.
It was a Superbike win.
I meant to say Superbike.
At Daytona.
I just got carried
away.
It
was at Daytona.
It was at Daytona. Yes, it was.
So you got part of it right.
Matt Mladen did not win the Daytona 200.
And they used to race Superbikes in the 200, but now they race FX bikes.
Well, let's roll back the entire first hour and see what else Tony Tice got wrong.
Nothing. Nothing.
On the phone now, we have a pro off-road racer, longtime racer. I think he turned pro almost 10 years ago. And a Yamaha guy, then turned into a KTM guy. And now he's a regional sales manager for Hoosberg. And he's not done racing, but he's still a very fast guy. Robbie Jenks, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I saw you down. I met you down at Loretta Lynn's ride. And you had some brand new Hoosberg sitting there ready to go for me. That was pretty fun. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, that was a thing that with the KTM guys did, and it worked so well with them, was having the bikes out for people to ride. And, you know, it's good for us. Not a lot of people, you know, are totally aware of what we're doing or what we have, so we're trying to get them out in front of everybody.
You'd never met Tony before, had you?
No.
He was praying to God he wouldn't, too.
He'd come up and ask me if he could ride one of my bikes, because he tore his up. So I was kind of scared from the word go. But.
Didn't he tell you two bikes he tore up before that?
No, he didn't say two. Okay.
That was last week.
Details.
That was at the ride, actually. KTM owns Hoosberg.
Correct.
And how they bought Hoosberg for their four-stroke technology, isn't that right?
Yes.
Tell us about the history of Hoosberg. I'm sure you've probably well-versed in it now that you're a regional sales manager.
Yeah.
So tell us about the history of Hoosberg and how they came to be part of the KTM family.
Well, like you said, basically Hoosberg started in 88. And at the time, you know, they were the only really kind of racy type four-stroke that was out there. And as time evolved, you know, KTM really didn't have much in the way of a racy four-stroke. So in 97... they bought out Hoosberg for their technology and, you know, just kind of ran with it since, put a lot of the technology into their bikes, and then, you know, really never did much with the brand as far as distributing or anything like that. You know, there's been a lot of other people that's distributed them here in the States.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Hoosberg that I rode was not...
the Hoosberg of old.
No, it wasn't the foot-and-a-half-wide Hoosberg that they had in the 90s. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was a really good bike, and you've raced these now?
Yes, yes. I've been, I did the first two rounds of the National Enduros, and then I did the Alligator Enduro.
How'd it go for you?
You know, the first round of the Enduros was all right. I actually busted a brake line. I caught it on something and ripped it off, which is a common thing in off-road.
Do you need brakes?
Yeah.
Only if you're going really fast.
You know, it's amazing how much you don't realize you need something until you don't have it. Mm. And it was no fun. So.
Yeah, like brakes.
Do you like
them? Yep. And then the Georgia Enduro, it was better. It was more of the kind of riding style stuff we're used to here, you know, kind of tighter trees, slick clay, things like that. And then the Alligator Enduro was fun. I'd never done it before. In previous years, with having commitments to the GNCCs, it was always kind of too much to do during bike week.
Robbie Jenks, our guest from Hoosberg now, and Robbie, the new Enduro format where there's no timekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in earlier years, you'd be hindered. Your score would be based on whether or not you're at a checkpoint too early. And now you don't have to worry about that with the new format. Do you like that new format as a racer?
You know, I do. It's still a race, and it just takes out a lot of the variables that could hurt the top level guys from week to week, because every club does things a little different, and that kind of plays to the local guys. But, you know, for the national series, it needs to be a little bit more, you know, the same level playing field every week for the guys that's trying to, you know, win the championship.
I'm going to go ahead and throw it to Ed Kuhlenkamp, because I'm sure he has lots of questions about the Hoosberg and the direction that they're headed.
Yeah, I'm curious about, well, a couple things. One, the Supermoto bike. How's that working out for you?
We are not actually doing Supermoto bikes.
They're on your website.
We didn't bring any in this year.
They're not in the United States.
So they're European, right?
We didn't import any.
But you raced in it last year? You had it on their website.
They still make the Supermoto bikes in Europe and everything like that. And there are, last year's distributor did bring them in, but we are not.
I did see some Hoosbergs out there on the track. last year. So
yes, there was a few, and there were some guys that did pretty well with it. But as far as a sales standpoint, you know, it's not there for us right now.
So my next question is on how the brand sits now with KTM as far as what is their future plan for, I guess, the off-road Husaberg in the U.S., and then why is your chain on the right side?
You know, I'd tell you, the second part of that is a good question.
You can answer every question
first. And I don't know the answer to. That's the right side, correct?
Yeah.
On the right side?
Well, in
it's
this
on
picture
the right
it
side,
is,
yeah.
And Ed, that's,
that's the right side,
that's
though.
That's the right side.
Yeah. The right side, yeah.
I guess. But what about the first question?
You know, it's going good. KTM took back over in September, and we've started rebuilding everything and trying to mold it, you know, and keep a set standard to everything and, you know, just show everybody that how good the bikes are, how good they can be, and, you know, that there is a market for this bike and there's a lot of people out there with interest in it.
So it's a separate, so it's almost like, because, I mean, KTM's already pretty dominant off-road, so
yes.
It's just, it's enough, it handles differently enough that it warrants keeping the extra brand in the market.
Right. You know, it's a totally different motorcycle.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've rode the KTMs for a while. I got this bike and got on it, and the only thing it does the same is you pull the clutch in and put it in gear.
You know, the one thing that I have to say about Husaberg is that Tony Wink rode it for two laps down there.
Uh-huh.
And didn't break anything.
Yeah, that's good, right?
That's an incredible feat.
Really that I told him about.
You know, he kept begging me to take it out on a big loop, and I wouldn't let him.
You know, that's a pretty good statement, because I don't think I've ever heard him ride a motorcycle that he hasn't broken in some way, shape, or form.
Nice. Well, that's good for us then.
Hey, yeah. I wasn't riding a KTM chassis, was I? I mean, does Husaberg have a completely different chassis than KTM?
It is a completely different chassis.
Right side chain drive.
Yeah,
but it's electric start now. I rode the 450. You have a 552, right?
Right, and a 650.
And a 650. I've seen a 650. That thing's mm-hmm. huge.
Well, did you have a 650 down at the ride?
I did. It was sitting there without the seat on it.
Yeah, I should have.
I could check out the air filters.
I should have ridden that bike.
Yeah, it's good. I rode it Friday for the first time. It's a very impressive motorcycle.
So you're healed up? You were in a cast when I saw you?
Yep, I got it off Thursday.
What happened to you?
I broke my finger and knuckle at the George Enduro.
Oh, that's no fun. With no brakes.
Tony was under the impression you hadn't paid somebody something.
That would probably be about right.
That'd be your final warning.
I wasn't selling enough bikes, so my boss broke my hand.
Robbie Jenks, can you tell us, if somebody, you know, hasn't followed off-road as much as we have, can you tell our listeners about your career? You've had a great off-road racing career.
Yeah, you know, I started doing local stuff. I was a little late. I didn't start racing until I was about 11. We'd always trail road and everything like that. Started in the GNCCs with one of the guys that I worked at the motorcycle shop with, Tim Shepard. He got me going on those. Turned pro at those in 99. Rode Yamaha, factory Yamaha for years. And was kind of getting burnt out on it. And, you know, I was real good friends always with Mike Lafferty. And seeing how the KTM thing always worked and kind of wanted to be a part of it. So I switched to them in 05. And then in 06, I won the National Hair Scramble Championship.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, to the people that, you know, won it.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
You know,
to everyone in the off-road community.
Tell us, Robbie, married, kids?
Nope, neither one.
Okay. How old are you?
31.
Oh, we got to get you some then. yeah. There's a whole program out there now, I understand.
Husaberg.
Yeah, the Husaberg Kids Program. If you
there
don't
you
have
go.
Them, you get two with every bike.
Yeah.
Yikes.
You pretty happy? Regional sales manager, it doesn't sound all bad. I tell you this, you did, it's got good and bad, I know. You got to go hang out, as your job, you got to go hang out, but you didn't, you know, at a motorcycle event, off-road motorcycle event, but you didn't get to ride.
Yeah.
So that's not... Is that boring for you? It's got to be kind of boring.
You know, it wasn't so bad with having the cast, so I really couldn't ride.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been worse after seeing the conditions, because it was ideal there with a little bit of rain they had. I mean, the trail looked really good.
Just so you know, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Just not to rub it in. But salt and
there. And the other thing I want to tell you, Robbie, is I've seen people, oh, for example, Tony, ride with two casts on. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not totally impossible.
No, it's not, but I it was my front brake one is the worst part, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of an important thing to be able to grab a hold of.
Once again, yes, brakes are important. We've established that. Yeah.
Now, see, all this time I've been using my back brake. So I thought the back brake was important as well. So.
Scott's the guy that, well.
I'm a back brake guy. Hey, I want to ask you a question about the FE550. It looks streamlined. Does it have the backbone it takes to win? I mean, this bike from the top side, from the top angle, from the side angle, it looks like it's got enough beef. But talk a little bit about the displacement is tough, man, at 549.8?
Yes.
And that's not too bad, but where's the bottom line? Dry weight there. Where do you ride that thing?
You know, a lot of the 550, 650 stuff is the out west thing, you know, for desert and the more open type trails.
Okay.
The 550 is, I have one, and I really like it. It's really manageable, but at the same time, if you want to grab a handful of it, it's got a handful to grab.
That was my.
You know, I can answer that statement that you asked, you know. Where do you ride a 550cc motorcycle?
Anywhere you want.
No kidding. Yeah.
You know, the four strokes, especially the bigger displacement that you're talking about, Scott, are so much work in the woods. Do you find that true? You rode two strokes, obviously, when you're on Yamahas.
Yep.
Have you had to adjust your riding style in the woods to be able to adapt to all the traction and all the power that you get from a big old Husaberg like that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the two-stroke thing is kind of like a point and shoot. You'd make the turn, point it, and just nail it to the next turn and turn. But on the four-stroke, you really don't do that. You need to really concentrate on keeping your speed up through the turns because of the weight. You just can't throw it around as much like you could the two-stroke.
You know, it doesn't look like it's that heavy, though.
It's not. It's not. If it is,
109 kilograms.
Yeah, so about 240 pounds.
I was going to say.
Well, maybe it is kind of heavy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like it in the woods.
No. And it's, you know, it's not the, it's just, you know, the whole difference of everything about the bike with the way the motor works, compared to the two-stroke, the type of power, everything, you know. It's just a totally different ride.
We should have you drop one of these off to Ed Cooling Camp in the Carolinas and let Ed do a couple weeks testing on it. Eddie, are you up for it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Hey, that's my next question, though. Where can people, I mean, if people want to try one of these out, I would guess that's, is that part of your sales strategy or not?
You know, it is. I've got some, you know, like bigger events like that Loretta Lynn's trail ride. I did one here in Ohio last weekend. And things like that that we've been trying to go to, have some bikes there for people to ride, and just so they can see what they're all about.
KTM, right? They bought
Husaberg's
technology.
Yeah, they bought Husaberg
and
for their
came with the brand. So.
So that's a roller rocker motor.
Yes.
Ooh. Are the offices together?
Yes.
So you're in Ohio.
Yes.
How do you like Ohio? Where are you from?
I'm from Ohio. I work at home.
Well, isn't
that's
nice?
Just wrong.
Yeah.
Well, you know how to make guys feel bad. You get to go to tracks. You get to play with the brand new bikes. You work at home.
I actually snuck out and did a little riding this afternoon, so it was good. The weather's really good here right now, and we're supposed to get a couple days worth of rain, so we got out tonight and tore it up a little bit.
Robbie Jenks, thanks for coming on our program. When I find you, when I see you again, I'll definitely be riding another Husaberg, okay?
There you go.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Robbie Jenks from Husaberg. When we come back, we're going to talk to a managing partner at GoNitroTire.com. It's Ken Lawton. Stick around. There's more Pit Pass after these.
Get the internet hole shot with Cycle News Online. America's weekly motorcycle magazine is as close as your keyboard at cyclenews.com. Every week you can get the fastest motorcycle news, race results, stories, rider interviews, and road race coverage all at Cycle News Online. Remember, for the fastest motorcycle racing news on the planet, daily updates, and a lot more, log on to cyclenews.com. Foremost offers specialized motorcycle policies designed specifically for motorcycle owners like you with an active lifestyle. We have policies with coverages for all types of cruisers, sport bikes, custom and classic models, and comprehensive coverages for things such as safety apparel, custom paint jobs, aftermarket parts and accessories, even towing and roadside assistance. Foremost also offers policies for manufactured homes, landlord, rental, and vacant properties, seasonal homes, motorhomes, travel trailers, off-road vehicles, snowmobiles, boats, personal watercraft, and classic automobiles. Get a quote or find out more at foremost.com or call them at 800-237-2060. That's foremost.com or 800-237-2060. Go ahead. Take Foremost along for the ride.
This is America's Moto Racing Talk Show, Pit Pass Moto Racing Weekly on the Pit Pass Radio Network. We'll be right back.
1460 KXNO.
Right now, Vanwall Motorsports invites you to the Yamaha Get Out and Ride sales event. With huge incentives, including customer cash on select models and low monthly payments on every Yamaha motorcycle, dirt bike, ATV, and Rhino side-by-side. Save big on Yamaha sport bikes, including the incredible R1 and R6. Ride off on a YZ dirt bike, like the YZ450F, the same bike Supercross champion Chad Reed rides. If ATVs are more your thing, then get out and ride a class-leading YFZ450 or Raptor 700R sport ATV, or a huge selection of super tough Grizzly and Big Bear utility ATVs. There's even great incentives on every Rhino side-by-side, including the new fuel-injected Rhino 700. So visit Vanwall Motorsports just east of Perry on Highway 141 or at 1303 East Highway 92 in Indianola for a great deal. Then get out and ride your brand new Yamaha. Hurry, offers end soon. On approved credit, see dealer for details and ATV age recommendations. For safety and training information, call the ATV Safety Institute at 1-800-887-2887. On the Yamaha Rhino, always wear your seatbelt, helmet, eye protection, and protective clothing. See store for details. It's time to gear up for summer with SoCal Racing. SoCal has all the must-have lids for the summer, including the hard-to-find SoCal Racing Trucker's hat, now only $9.95, and the skull-fitting Racing Beanie Hat and the Decal Works form-fitted hat, all available in Radical Black. For a complete look at the full line of gear for this summer, check out the spot that the pros do daily, SoCalMX.com. That's SoCalMX.com.
The all-new Kawasaki Brute Force 650 4x4i ATV will go places and do things most vehicles can't. A powerful, liquid-cooled V-twin engine provides the torque to excel under the most grueling circumstances. Check it out at your Kawasaki dealer today. Kawasaki ATVs with engines of 90cc and above are recommended for use only by persons 16 years of age or older. Kawasaki also recommends that all ATV riders take a training course.
See the new Kawasaki lineup today at Struthers Brothers, 5191 Northwest 2nd Avenue in Des Moines.
For over 15 years, Hot Rods has been the world's leading quality supplier of aftermarket cranks and rods. Hot Rods produces the best engineered stroker cranks in the industry. When you're serious about performance, you can look to Hot Rods for unparalleled four-stroke technology. Hot Rods has developed its stroker crankshaft line with special pistons and long stroke rods, avoiding any additional machine work to the engine typically required in long stroke applications. These complete drop-in crankshafts are a continuation of Hot Rods' dedication to performance and reliability. When you need performance that's reliable, convenient, and affordable, ask for Hot Rods by name. Hot Rods, still number one.
This is that guy that won all those races, man.
Yeah, Vanilla Ice. Yeah. Speaking at a post-event conference, Nikki Hayden explained that he felt proud to christen the new 16-turn Indy Motor Speedway circuit, which is going to be used for the first time since, I think, 1909 at the inaugural Red Bull Indianapolis Grand Prix coming up September 14th, I believe.
Yeah, but he was riding a what? A 19 what?
1909 Indian.
Indian. Now, how cool is that, fellas? And the thing was cherry.
He said at 45 mile an hour, it felt like it was 100.
I'm sure it did.
It was leaking oil.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Is it? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
The race line.
I bet Nikki Hayden knows something about nitrogen in tires, which is my segue to our next guest. Before we do that, we have to pay some bills.
Yeah, we got to pay tribute to Ty Lube. They're the performance lubricants. They're certainly your best choice when you need that ultimate lubrication in your bike. They have years of dedication to technological advancement that have resulted in the highest quality products available for today's engine needs. If you need oil, and I know you do, brother, get out there. Order it. Ty Lube. If your dealer doesn't have it, make sure they do. Ask them to carry Ty Lube, ultimate lubrication.
Thank you, Scott. Our next guest is Ken Lawton. He's a managing partner at Go Nitro Tire, and it's a green company helping to expand the use of nitrogen to fill tires. Sounds crazy if you're not interested or if you're not familiar with it, but get interested because it's Ken Lawton on our show. Ken, welcome to the program.
Thank you very, very much, Tony. And from Nashville, Tennessee, we are very proud to be a part of Pit Pass Radio.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, thank you. Talk to us about nitrogen in tires, because we don't have a whole lot of time for you.
All right, well.
Well, that's not the right way to put it. We're running out of time in the hour. That's
what I mean.
Okay.
We've got the rest of the hour for you. Let's talk about nitrogen in tires.
And that's Tony Wink.
Yes, at pitpassradio.com.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Nitrogen has been around in professional racing certainly with NASCAR since 1991. The airlines, the military has used it, and you know, major fleets and some cyclists have been using it for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. Nitrogen is in the air we breathe. It's about 78%, and the benefits that you get from using nitrogen in motocross and off-road bikes has to do with corrosion, safety, and permeability. The permeability of conventional air is what has everyone inflating and reinflating their tires. Mm. Now with professional motocross, soft tires, hard tires, it's all about maintenance and safety. You recognize better performance in the way the bike rides, and from the standpoint of the wear of the tire, you realize greater tire wear.
Why is that, Ken? Is it because of the moisture content of the oxygen, or is it because of the lack of moisture in the nitrogen?
Well, pure nitrogen, which is totally safe and non-flammable, is dry. And what you have with conventional air is a lot of moisture, and essentially the moisture is the enemy of rubber.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes rust, corrosion, and in terms of rim damage and so forth. So
it is safe. It sounded kind of dangerous, but it is safe.
Well, you were thinking hydrogen.
Yeah, yeah, you're not going to go down in a ball of flames and not the Hindenburg here.
Oh, Tony Wink's bike blew up because of his tires.
No, he was running with nitrogen, but that is not the case. We all associate nitrogen with nitrous, and I have been asked many, many times, well, is it safe? It sounds flammable, but it isn't. It is.
It's so cold, isn't it?
Would you say it's an inert gas then?
It's an inert gas. The air we breathe is 78% nitrogen. So
it's not bad for the environment or anything like that?
No, it's good. It's great for the environment as an alternative to conventional air for professional motorsports. It's a great green alternative, primarily because of what it does for extending tire wear and improving the maintenance. You know, the amount of time you cyclists, professional racers have to play with their tires, which is why it made its way into NASCAR as long ago as it has.
We're talking with Ken Lawton, managing partner of Go Nitro Tire. Ken, when we first met, some of the things you were telling me about this amazed me. First of all, there's equipment that goes with this, like you would need for traditional air equipment. I'm talking about compressors and whatnot. But they're using it in, like, bus fleets. For example, I believe the New York Metropolitan Bus lines are using it.
That's right.
Transit Authority. And they're doing it for fuel savings and the efficiency of the tire wear. And less problems. And one of the things that amazed me, and I told this to Tony earlier, and he didn't quite get it, is that the I don't mean to knock you, Tony. I'm just saying it's
nothing new.
The nitrogen is a larger molecule.
You're 100% right. It is a larger molecule because it's a bigger molecule than the combination of nitrogen and oxygen in conventional air that we have been used to using. It doesn't permeate the tire wall the same way as conventional air, so you get that durability.
Foremost offers specialized motorcycle polish. Okay, we found the Foremost commercial. Good.
Yeah,
we're having some computer problems, but we're getting through it.
We're working through it.
Yeah.
Well, what it takes to guys to nitronize our trademarked slogan. To nitronize your tires is a system. We have two alternatives, essentially. One is a nitrogen generator, which you can see on our website at gonitrotire.com. The alternative that is particularly good for cyclists is our patented aerosol products. We have two 20-ounce aerosol products that are capable of managing up to 45 pounds PSI in a tire. And they are great products, can convert, easily convert, one aerosol can easily convert to two cycle tires.
Let's throw it to John Albert, one of our road racing guys here in the studio.
Now, yeah, is this for street and for
everything.
Off-road?
Yes.
Everything, absolutely. All the above.
I have talked to off-road racers in various environments, and they have all, without exception, been very excited about the options and alternatives that the use of nitrogen offers versus conventional air.
Let's say you're a team owner, team manager, okay?
Yeah.
And you get the nitrogen generator for the shop. How do you transfer the nitrogen to the track, say, to work on bikes? Let's say you get a repair or replace a tire on the track, you hit something, you're a dirt bike rider. How do you transfer or at least transport the nitrogen? Is it similar to a traditional air tank?
Well, what you can do is you're in the shop, you've got your generator, that converts to an auto inflation cart, which has a 60-gallon tank. It's on wheels. It has a 10-hour rechargeable battery. For professional motorsports, this is the from shop to track alternative to portability and versatility. Can do anything, go anywhere, essentially, with a 10-hour rechargeable battery and the 60-gallon tank, which obviously can be refilled. It's great stuff. We work with Air Products and distribute their Ultrafill 99 equipment, which does tire brakes. It has the highest purity. It's wonderful equipment, state of the art, and performs like nothing else in the field of nitrogen systems today. We're very proud of our relationship with Air Products.
Tony Tice, you've been involved in road racing for many years at
long time.
Yamaha and okay. several long time.
Gotta go there, don't we?
you got any experience with using nitrogen in tires?
Nitrogen's good stuff because it stays consistent whenever the tire temperature changes. It doesn't.
That's the big thing.
Yeah,
that's
it doesn't
exactly
affect
right.
the tire pressure.
So it's huge for road bike
huge.
Guys. Like
so
like,
throughout the day, you don't have to check
not,
your pressure?
Not once. Not unless you got a hole in it.
That's okay, exactly right.
Well, one less thing to deal with.
High temperatures in the desert to sub-zero temperatures, nitrogen is not affected as air is in terms of PSI fluctuation.
Interesting.
All good right.
Stuff. Safe, non-flammable, and performance-driven.
All right, we're just about running out of time, and I got a dumb question for you.
Go.
So we're working our way around the element table here. If you were to use helium, would it make your bike lighter?
you'd fly high. Yeah.
No, okay, actually, real question.
Funny.
Real question. Is that cold an application, like the specific heat of nitrogen, if I remember correctly? Isn't that, like, cold? Like if it popped off or something while you're filling it, you'd
you're
freeze
thinking
your
about
fingers?
Liquid. Nitrogen.
Liquid nitrogen.
That's a lot different than what it is.
Yeah, like from the movie Terminator. You remember that.
That's right. You're perhaps thinking of liquid hydrogen as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Let's not refer back to a Terminator.
So anyway, I'm guessing there's a website we can check this out.
Yeah, gonitrotire.com.
That's right.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Kenny. You ready?
Yeah, man.
Are you ready? No, I don't think I owe you a drink. I don't think either of us spend that much time together where we I don't want to. I'll end up owing you a drink after this because I'm going to put you on the spot. Are you ready to give some of those small aerosol cans away? If we like, what did we give away earlier, Tony?
We gave away tickets to the ESPN Motocross Championships.
Okay. Are you ready to put what? What are these coming? A case of four or six?
Case of 12.
Case of 12. What's the retail value on that bed?
The pure nitrogen 20-ounce cans are $3.99 a piece. The Ultra Tire Extender, which is has an oxy scavenger. That's our patented product. Those are $7.99 a piece, and they come in 12 packs.
Okay,
sweet.
So
12 packs.
how about this? Here's how you got to do it. We have a contact us button on pitpassradio.com. Hit the contact us button, and it'll come to me and Ed and Scott, and it'll tell. Does it go to you?
Yes.
Okay, it goes to all three of us, and tell us why you deserve to win.
A case.
Because you put me on the spot, too.
A 12-pack.
That's all. That's what we did last week. Okay. But tell us why you deserve to win Go Nitro Tire
assuming Ken agrees to give us a case to give away. But
you guys are great.
But Kenny, you got to ship it for us
we
too.
Will gladly give.
You got to ship it.
10 cases to the first 10.
There you go. We've got 10 winner potentials. Write in why
you deserve to win a case of Go Nitro tire or a case of what is it? Tell me what we're winning.
One is a tire extender. The other is Ultra Tire Extender. It has the Oxy Scavenger. It essentially extracts any and all oxygen once the tire has been converted. I think we should do it over a 10-week period of time. So you guys...
Well, yeah, so you can stretch it out.
have the opportunity to...
You know, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
that's
make
good
your...
Idea.
Make,
10 weeks of nitrogen... How'd that go? Nitronization?
Nitronide.
Nitronide.
What do you think, Ed? Go. Sound like fun?
I think it's a good idea. I think we're going to see more and more of this.
I think we're going to get one of these pieces of equipment here in the studio. I think that's what we need.
Well, the UltraFill 99 equipment is, as I said, the best in the market today for a variety of reasons that professional motorsports, motocross, cycling in general, whether it's a shop or a professional team, will benefit from.
Well, Ken, we're benefiting from it right now.
We're at it. We're past our break, so we're going to cut you loose. But thanks very much for being on the show.
Hey, from Nashville, thank you very much.
God bless you, Kenny. Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Don't forget, sign up now. All you got to do is go where?
Hit the contact us button on pitpassradio.com and tell us why you deserve to win. And the first 10 people will win. So stick around. We got to take a 1-minute break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up this 2 hours of Pit Pass Motor Racing Weekly.
Foremost offers specialized motorcycle policies designed specifically for motorcycle owners like you with an active lifestyle. We have policies with coverages for all types of cruisers, sport bikes, custom and classic models, and comprehensive coverages for things such as safety apparel, custom paint jobs, aftermarket parts and accessories, even towing and roadside assistance. Foremost also offers policies for manufactured homes, landlord, rental, and vacant properties, seasonal homes, motorhomes, travel trailers, off-road vehicles, snowmobiles, boats, personal watercraft, and classic automobiles. Get a quote or find out more at foremost.com or call them at 800-237-2060. That's foremost.com or 800-237-2060. Go ahead. Take Foremost along for the ride. I want to thank Foremost Insurance for stepping up on behalf of bike riders everywhere, all disciplines. What a job they do. Foremost Insurance, make sure you click on their logo. Their website is available at pitpassradio.com. Tony?
Thank you. We've had a good show.
Why do you act surprised? Every week you do a very good job.
I wasn't surprised. Dan Clean, thank you very much from Novak for coming in and sitting in with us 2 hours. Next week we're going to talk with Scott Summers.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Ricky James.
Right.
We're going to talk about the MX for Children. It's Paul Gross will be on. And then also the world record holder jumper, Robbie Madison. He's insane. And I can't wait to talk to him. We had him on a while back, and it was a lot of fun. For John Albert, Dan Clean, Tony Tice, Scott Casper, I'm Tony Wink. And as my old boss used to say, go riding.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
I thought he said, fix that bike.
No, he said, go riding.
Pull your pants
up. Have a good one, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Pit Pass.